We're here with one of my favorite people, Mr. Kenneth Castillo. Mm-hmm. I always liked your name, Kenneth Castillo.
Thank you. I like my name too.
and we're going to talk about his newest project and some plans that he has for the near future, and just have a little fun talking.
That sounds perfect.
So
I apologize. I didn't bring my asthma medication, so there might be a cough or two in there.
Okay, and as long as I don't have to do CPR.
No, it'll be all right. I feel good.
So your newest project is very impressive. Trailers and things that you've been putting up and I've seen, it's Marigold the Matador.
That's right. Marigold the Matador.
And it's a family affair.
It is, yeah. Most of my stuff, I would say, is this one is a directly involves my wife because she's acting in it, and my daughter who's also acting in it. My wife was an accomplished theater actress. That's how we met. She hasn't acted in a long time, but I wanted her to play this part. And my daughter is not an actress, doesn't have the discipline of an actress, but is she's just an amazing little person, and she's transitioning from little girl to young lady. And I wanted to kind of capture that in her performance for this piece.
And actually, there's no script.
There is no script for this, no.
There is no script.
You know, I've written and directed 6 feature films, and I'm still got my day job, so I think maybe the problem is the script. What if I just shoot a movie without a script? Maybe people will like it more. Maybe it'll get me to that next level. I don't know. But, no, it didn't call for that because I'm going more for a feeling, but that doesn't mean that it's just us going out and shooting whatever. I mean, I had to have a Matador costume built, and I had to get permits to shoot in certain locations, so there was a clear vision. There just wasn't a script for it, and I hired cast and crew that understood that everyone was going to be doing multiple roles. And also that, and when I say roles, I don't mean acting roles. I just mean in terms of helping the film.
Right.
And that they were just going to have a tremendous amount of trust in my process. And so it was exciting for us to not shoot with the script and for my crew to start to see the story come together. Right. And then, I mean, they were all on board. But I think when they start to see it and shoot it and they go, what are we doing today? Because no one would know. I would bring props and I would bring things and I'd say, this is what we're shooting today. So every day I knew what I needed to get. And right now is a scary time because my editor has just started assembling everything. And so she's, this first time I'm working with her. And as of right now, everything seems to be okay. So I'm like, all right. I go, because she knows there's no script. And she saw the first look that you saw. She gets the feeling of what I'm trying to do.
And speaking about the feeling, when I watched some of the pieces that you've put together, it made me think of Fellini films.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I mean, I haven't seen a Fellini film in a long time, mm-hmm. but there's certain scenes in Fellini films that just kind of stay with you.
Oh, right. Absolutely.
And there was something about, you know, watching Marigold.
Oh,
you know,
wow.
Walk through Ivan,
yeah.
You know, being the
El Toro.
El Toro. Yeah. I mean, it was just something about it. They just kind of went, oh my God, it reminds me of Fellini film.
Oh, wow. Fantastic. I mean, that's a great comparison just based off the first look. And you know, it's probably the most raw project I've ever done. I like with my writing, I don't judge where my stories come from. And I usually don't know where they come from until after I'm done with them. After I've shot a movie, I look at it and go, oh, that's where that came from. And the same thing's happening with Marigold. I'm looking at it and I'm thinking, you know, it started out to be about a single woman, a single mother, and then it turned into this childhood perspective, you know, about these 3 days of her growing up. And then it became about the schizophrenic, and I kind of put them all together. But it's really my story and how I've been feeling over the past, I don't know, last year. Was a difficult, not a difficult year, but it was, let's just say, I had to start from scratch on this project. I severed a lot of relationships and that were toxic. And so doing that, I'm starting from scratch and just moving forward into really an unknown territory.
Well, you know, sometimes I think we need to be more truthful to our emotions Because sometimes when we ignore our emotions, like you said, get rid of toxic environment.
Oh, yeah.
When you don't pay attention to your emotions, sometimes it'll just take you down that black hole.
Absolutely. And I, it just, this, like I said, I wanted to do something. You know, after doing 6 films, I've worked with a lot of people, a lot of actors, a lot of crew, a lot of, you know, and you reveal your process in that time working with people, and then people start to see that and they think that they can mimic what you do. And it is enough. Mimicry is enough to get your maybe one film done. But when you do a second film, which most of the people that I would say have come out of my process have all done one film, but they haven't done a second. And that's when it really gets difficult, because then you have to build your own. You have to have your own point of view. You have to put yourself, invest yourself into it. And so with Marigold, it was, I was creating a process that can't be mimicked. I can't mimic my process when this is done. I couldn't go back and recreate Marigold.
No.
It's happened very fresh, you know, which is exciting.
It is exciting, because, I mean, I think there's probably so many directors that wish they could just not find themselves, I have to write this, but be able to just free themselves by just going out and doing it.
Yeah.
Just to see. I mean, it you know, it may not be perfect.
Right.
But it could be.
Yeah. And look, it could be a complete disaster. And I don't know where it's going to go. I don't know if it's going to get distribution. I don't know if we're going to get in any major festivals. I just know I had to do it. Mm-hmm. And so when you have that, that's really all you need to move forward on anything. And the irony is, you know, it's the least amount of money, least amount of resources I've ever had for a feature. And I've gotten everything I've wanted. I've gotten every location. I've gotten every actor and actress that I've wanted, my crew. So if it's a failure, it's all on my fault. Mm-hmm. And but not being able to put all these elements together in the right way. Mm-hmm. If it's a success, I give all credit to my cast and crew.
You know, and you also, what is, you shot it in 7 days? The principal?
Roughly, yeah. Principal photography took place in 7 days. And we did, like, 3 days of B-roll. I have, like, one more day that I want to do. I wasn't sure how I was going to end the film. Mm-hmm. And now that I know how to end a film, I need to shoot it. But unfortunately, that's going to be my most expensive day. Mm. So we're doing a crowd building campaign through Seed and Spark. Not just to help with that, but to help post, which is already in progress. So, you know, that would help with sound engine, sound design, music composition, composing, and coloring. So we're seeking $21,000. We're not seeking a lot of money for a film that's already been shot. And if the campaign is good, I could have Marigold finished by the end of September, the latest. You know, the earliest, the end of August.
I really am looking forward to seeing it. You know, because I've always, you know, with Counterpunch, you touched on something that's very dear and close to me, you know, the whole thing about schizophrenia and bipolar. Mm-hmm. And what is interesting in Marigold, it looks like you're touching on those same subject, but probably more from a child's point of view than an adult's, and I got that just from watching your
fantastic.
You know, so you have something going.
Yeah, I you know what I kind of based her on. You know, my childhood was interesting. I've been looking back on my childhood, and I wanted to be Indiana Jones when I grew up. You know,
yes.
And I grew up in an area where there were a lot of trains, and it was very industrious. You know, trains, cranes, and
planes.
Abandoned warehouses, yeah, and open lots, and as a boy, you know, you want to climb chain link fences, and you want to jump on trains, and you want to do all those things that were right there, and so there's a danger. There was a danger element to my childhood, but never felt that way. It never felt that way. So I'm kind of, how do I say? I'm trying to get that feeling again. There's a freedom that I had at 6 years old that I distinctly remember, and I'm trying to show that in this character.
You know, as adults, we have to remember what it is to be a child.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because...
Oh, yeah.
Because you can't just spend your whole adult life just being an adult.
Yeah, and I think there's
you
just
gotta
a,
mix it up.
Yeah, and sometimes it's definitely a balance. I have a family, and this was difficult financially, on a strain on me and my family. The difference is I never let that affect my home life. You know, what I have to balance and deal with and that stress is all mine. You know what I mean? So when I'm with my family, I just enjoy our time. You know, they don't need to know that I'm negative in my account. The rent's paid, there's food on the table, my family doesn't need to know that. They're going to know that
they're
now.
They're going to know that now.
But
I know what you mean.
You have to balance that, my kids are I learn so much more from them than I teach them, and my son is exactly like me, and in terms of his sense of adventure and sense of he's just I named him after my favorite actor, which is James Cagney. His middle name's Cagney, and he's definitely like a little Cagney. I named him well.
well, I hope that with this crowdfunding that you're going to do, mm-hmm. because we all know that it's not an easy thing.
No, it definitely is not. Yeah,
and you'll get the funding that you will need to finish this.
I've chose Season Spark because if you raise 80%, then you're going to get funded. So you only have to raise 80%, and I'm not asking for a lot of money. With 6 feature films, I think I have a following. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I think my incentives are personal to the film. And I'm hoping that people gain something from it. I'm not trying to take anything from anybody. I'm hoping that they get something out of supporting my project.
Yeah.
And I've never done this before. So, but it's a great way for any filmmaker to achieve independence.
Yeah.
But also, you need to... What any filmmaker, I would tell any filmmaker, you have to be just as talented in marketing and getting yourself out there without kind of seeming like a total and complete narcissist.
Yeah.
And that's a delicate balance, because I've seen people do it the other way. That was my big fear of not wanting to crowdfund, was mm-hmm. just, I don't want to come off like a complete narcissist, me. Support me. I want the project to be, and the campaign to be about involving people that want to be a part of it.
Yeah.
And hopefully we'll know. I mean, July 8th is when we launch, and again, if it doesn't happen, I know the film will be finished one way or another.
I know you. I know it will. I look forward to seeing it, and as always, best success always to you.
Thank you so much for taking the time, and Sophia has been incredible support, so, and you've been an incredible support, so I hope I never take you for granted.
And on that note, buena suerte.
Thank you so much.